Now wait, that's ridiculous. And I feel, and have felt for 37 years, that what was revealed to me wasn't just exactly for me alone. It was too gigantic. And today, I feel within myself, and I would like for you to have an experience of this deep. What benefit, or what good, or what profit is there in me getting up, telling me some kind of a fantastic tale of ideology, or just standing up here lying to you about who God is or something? What benefit is there? See, it doesn't help me, and it won't help you. See? There's another thing I want you to know, too, is this. It's taken place with me 37 years ago, in 1931. Now, I've often used a statement like this. See, I did see a vision. And I have seen and talked with apparitions. Now, I'm fully aware that everybody has never seen one. I'm just as aware of that as I can be. There is millions of people all over the world who've never seen one. Consequently, they just don't know whether to accept it or not. But now, let me tell you in such a way that you can understand. Some people say ghost. An apparition is called a ghost. Now, in reading many books of the adepts, the masters, and the sages from the Far East, as I have tried to say, there are many different interpretations to the Bible. For example, when the readers got up here to read the Bible to you, he told you that he was reading from the holy name version of the Bible. And he told you that the correct name of the Father, whom you look at or have been taught all your life, is God, is really Yahweh. And he also told you about the Lord. Whom you know as Jesus Christ. For the word that was written in the Bible, you know it. Now that's Hebrew. Now this is what I'm saying. Now I'm trying to teach, not preach. Of course, true teaching is preaching. But I am trying now to explain with all that in me is. And my objective and purpose and intention for so doing is to try my best to persuade you to see and to believe and understand the reality of the faith. Now that's what my purpose is. Now, the reason for that is this. You have been deceived. You've been proven. You've been misled. And to those whom some of you trust as of now have confessed that they misled the people. They confessed. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about there, so you won't make no mistake about it. In the International Council of the Churches that was held in New Delhi, India, the individual who published our book, Dr. Durrett, was present at that meeting. And they used our book as a criteria. Mm-hmm. And now, listen now, just don't finagle around with words. He said the International Council of the Churches. And they said, now listen what I'm going to say. Now they said themselves, and we do have it in a newspaper clipping. We don't have to take the rest word for it. They confess that they have been walking in darkness and not in light. They had misled the people, and they were going to have to go back home and study all over. Now, they didn't ram this up in my face. Here is the article. I don't need that. I got one in the front. Thank you. Now, here is the article. Dr. Hess, would you mind reading some of it? See, a lot of times when we get up here and tell people something, we're dead serious about the book.
That's right.
You see, and so we want you to realize that, see? Now, the only way it is that we can do this is to give you actual facts in the case.
This is November the 20th, 1961. Two church groups join at World Folly, New Delhi. Two powerful agencies of Christian cooperation of the World Council of Churches and the International Missionary Council were merged Sunday. The historic action combines the three basic strands of the church unity movement: mission, worship, and service. It came as followers of many denominations convened in this land of many gods. A vast procession representing churches of nearly every kind and nation stepped forth in bright Indian sunlight to launch the World Council's Third General Assembly. It was a stirring and colorful cavalcade as believers from around the globe, clad in their various dress according to place and tradition, marched four abreast to an opening worship service. The light shines in the darkness was the devotional text. Metropolitan Johannan Mar Thomas of Mar Thomas Syrian Church of Malabar said, "We have come together in this place out of many nations because Christ, who is the light of the world, hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We confess that we have walked in darkness rather than in light, that we have hidden from men the true light of the world because our works were evil."
Thank you very much. Is there anything else down there you think is important in our
relationship?
Now, we're here to learn. This year, we want to know something about it.
No, the only thing about it is afterwards in the first business session, the council, which includes 175 denominations with 250 million members, sealed its consolidation with the Missionary Federation. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they confess it. They admit it. See? Now, if I got up and said something about it, than somebody that don't know the difference. They're all hot and sore.
Right.
Okay. Now, I don't have to... Now, we're talking about religion. We're talking about Yahweh and the universe. We're talking about what is right and what is wrong. We're talking about Yahweh or God and the devil. We're talking about righteousness and deception. See? That's what we're talking about. So you don't misunderstand. Now, you know as well as I do, everybody can't be right. See? We don't even need no sense for that. See? Now, I can preach. Not both. I don't believe that a man in the state of California can be free. That's right. I just don't believe it, and many of you have heard me preach. That's not what I'm trying to do. Of course, I told you, true teaching is free. Now, we have come down. I'll be too close to everything I say tonight. See? Well, we're going to prove or disapprove. The divine authenticity or the divine authority of this book which we call the Bible. Listen, and the eternal existence of Yahweh, to which every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess. And I want you to know that I don't have nothing to do no blowing and boasting about myself. Just don't have it. Nothing to do no bad about it. At all. And I would not know what I know tonight if it had not been shown to me in a vision. Now, this is what I tell. Since it was revealed to me in a vision, see, I didn't understand the vision. Now, am I getting it over to you? I didn't understand the vision. And then afterwards, see, the meaning of the vision was revealed to me. Now I want you to know that before that time I was a assistant pastor of the Church of God of Holiness Church for 15 years in the city of Springfield, Ohio. I believed in living a holy, consecrated life unto God. Conscientious. I want you to know that. And to the very best of my ability, I lived it. And young people from every which way come for miles to hear me preach. Something happened. An accusation was brought against me that I was not guilty of. Then too, now this is what I'm saying. I never did believe in my life that unless you can see a thing for yourself and it becomes a reality to you, I do not believe in you accepting that thing as fine and just going on following the crowd. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I believe in you making an investigation for yourself. You are the one that's going to have to stand in the judgment. Now, Mama, Papa, Rev, and nobody else can do that for you. The scripture says, Yahweh said, as I live, and he is life, says Yahweh, as I live, to me, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Yahweh to the glory. Yahshua the Messiah to the glory of God, of Yahweh. Now you're going to have to do that. Now, Yahshua the Messiah, now listen to what I'm saying. Yahshua the Messiah said in the 24th chapter of Matthew that many false prophets would go out, many false teachers would go out. John said in his epistle, written in 1890, that they've already gone out. You understand? Now, there is a negative and a positive. There is a true and a false. There are satanic spirits or demonic spirits incarnated in men, posing as preachers and as teachers. It heads up these denominations. Now, are you listening? A lot of so says the book, and if you don't say the book, says so, I'll read. They designed for money. And they do not know what they're talking about. Then another thing I want to point out to you here is this. That Yahweh said that he would listen, that he would destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Now he said he was going to do that. And that is just exactly what he has done. That's why you have so much confusion in the world today. Now what men do, they do it right in your presence. They stand up and deny. And you are not wise enough because you don't know the person. They're not wise enough to catch them. They say Yahshua the Messiah, or to some of you have known Jesus Christ. They say he's wrong to him, right to his face. Then right up in the focus and say, and withstand you to the faith, and even after you have read. Now I'll show you pretty soon how that's done. Now, let me see if I can say it to you this way. The 37 going on 38 years, with all the troubles that I have had, domestic problems, with my wife and children, my relatives and whatnot. And listen, I want you to know, I have been beat up bodily. The Muslims beat me up at 906 Hoxton Street in Cincinnati, Ohio. They said that Allah was God, and we was in Chicago. They like to do it. Piper and Kenny and Shuster. Five of them jumped on him and said that they was going to kill all of the Negroes that would not cooperate with them. They were going to kill them anyhow in 1970. That's next year. And for many months, I couldn't move my arm, comb my head, whatnot. And after they got through beating me up, they unlocked the door, said, "Now you can go." I said, "No, I'm not ready." So, now, what that was all about, I want to show you what that was all about. You see, there was a lady that attended our class in Cincinnati. At that time, my wife and I were suffering. And she thought, well, not suddenly, as a boy shrink. And because I had some white people in the organization, then, as we do now, you see, their intention was that all the reason why they were white was because they were possessed with the devil. So then, they didn't, this lady asked I wouldn't cooperate with her, see. Be a boyfriend. I'm just telling you plain so you can understand what I'm talking about. Then she left. And then he went and got with the black mother. And then they sent their leader up. When I was on inspection in the insurance business, I had a grandson and children. And they locked the door and beat me up. And they tried to make me take it back. But I had a vision and a revelation. And after they had beat me as long as they pleased, see, and when they turned me loose and unlocked the door, I said, "Look, I'm not ready to go." Now, we're up on the third floor, too. But now, look, I used to be a firefighter. And if you grab me around my head, like you have done around my neck, see, bend me over. I was cutting insults out of you, left and right, done stand, ran on you, and stole of many of them, and then so far as that part, part of them, I took all five of them. But there's no fight in me. I don't seek to defend myself. And what I have said is true, and I will rather die than to take it back. And that's been my story ever since Yahweh chose me to be. And I look right at it just like I'm looking at you, Dr. Harris. See? Then they sat down, and they said, "Would you come down to our temple after we beat you up like we have?" I said, "Why, sure." I said, "You don't know no better. You know what you're doing. I'm not even angry with you about it." I said, "Well, you have to prove that to me." So I asked him when I was coming. I told him I didn't know. But I said, "I'm a very, very busy man, but the first opportunity I get, I'll be there." And it was about a week, or maybe a day or two, over a week.
Yeah.
Right up by myself, no protection, alone and by myself, on the way in to the temple. Didn't take no back seat on front seat, right up in the front. And the leader of that group, see, when I came in the door back there, they took everything off of me I had on. see that I had no guns nor nothing like that. See, no pocket knives or anything. I had to pump this money out. Insurance got this money out on my person. I had a fountain pen and a race book. They took it away from me at the door before I came in.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader told that group, that this, I want you to give everything back to that man that you took the offer of him at that door. And if any of you in this place put your hands on him anymore, I mean, he's standing right in the foot. And I'm sitting right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to settle with me. Because he's even seen somebody else, he's the biggest fool about it. And when I walk the streets of Cincinnati, uptown or anywhere, anytime any of them saw me, they put their hands. And greeted me with all the courtesy and respect that they come back. Now, that was the Mohammedan. You understand? Now that leads me to tell you about the Koran, since we told you about this book. Now the Koran says, a lot of people think, it was written by Elijah Muhammad, and he was born in 636 A.D. Elijah Muhammad did not write the Koran. He was just ill. And what it is a corruption of the scriptures. No man born in 632 A.D. can go back and correct what Moses and that thing. Now this reincarnation of the prophet Elijah, that's a lie too. Now the reason why I say that that's a lie with the reincarnation of the prophet Elijah, and something else I want you to know about that. See, Elijah, the prophet Elijah, never wrote a thing.
Right.
See, I'm talking about it was the others that wrote of Elijah. It was not Elijah that wrote. Now, so far as the reincarnation of Elijah in the modern, the 632, that's a lie. See, that's going to be. See? Now, here's where you stumble. See, you're gullible. And because somebody said they was, then you just go ahead and accept it. Okay? And that's just not so. See? Then this is Elijah Muhammad up here in Chicago. He's supposed to be a reincarnation of the other one. Now let me tell you about reincarnation. See? And I want to tell you in such a way you can see. Such a way you can understand. Now the quick and easy way for me to tell you about it, when Yahshua the Messiah was here, walking around on the face of the earth, he sent his disciples out to cast out demons or cast out a devil. I'm trying to talk so you know what I'm talking about. Now that's before he died. He sent them out to cast them out. And they came back rejoicing because the evil spirit was made subject unto them. Is that right?
Right.
Now, if you don't think that's in this book this way, I'll read. Anything I tell you you don't believe it's in here, hold your hand up, I'll read. I know where it is. See, I don't want to kid nobody about nothing. See? Now, they came back to rejoicing because they had cast out those demonized spirits. You see? And the side comes and said, don't rejoice at that, but rather rejoice because your limbs are in the Lord's hands. Now listen, when those evil spirits were cast out of men, so says the Messiah, they walked through dry places, seeking rest,
don't find it. Then they go, goes right back to the house or to the temple or to the body or to the person out whom he was passed. And this is what he finds. He finds the house ripped and dying, but not occupied. See, it's all swept and garnished and all cleaned up, you see, but not occupied. Now then, he can't go back into that by himself. He has to go get some, you know, some help to break into it like that. Now, if he could go back into it by himself, then that would be reincarnation. See, but that's not what happened. He had to go get meeting and then grab the gate. And then the last state of that man was worse than the first. Now let me give it to you in a way you can think it this way now. See, Yahshua the Messiah and his disciples, before he died, healed everybody that had any sickness. He healed their physical body, right, which is the equivalent to saying he cast out the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah. Healed everybody.
Yeah.
Leprosy and all other kinds of disease.
Yeah.
You see? Now, when he gets down to the third, again, I'm telling you why the latter state of that person is worse than it was the first. See? Now when you get down to the cross, sign him to be crucified, the Sanhedrin council left the chiefs and the leaders, the instructors of the Jews. See? They cried out, crucify, away with him. And they blended right into the crowd. You understand? And the last state was worse than the first. You see that now? That's because of death. Now, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he sent the disciples out to cast out these evil spirits. You understand? But now there's a difference between that time and after his resurrection. Instead of him just being cast out and the house being garnished, you understand, or cleaned all up, you see, quite occupied. Occupied with what? They become a recipient of the Holy Spirit. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit. How long? Until the day of redemption. There will be no breaking in. Now you understand reincarnation. See? Now, let's get this part of reincarnation straight. Let's get this straight. Now there is nothing in the universe. Not a thing. In vegetable, animal, organic, inorganic, or matter, in any state, condition, or form, animate and inanimate. Are you listening? That Yahweh is not in. Matter is spirit materialized. Now, what did I say that for? See, Yahweh don't jump out of this one, see, and get in another. See, now they'll say it like this. A child, when he's born in the world, see, he is another individual that was way back there. You understand? That's incarnated in another body. Now let me show the fallacy and the folly and the superstition and ignorance in that. But just transferred over to the vegetable kingdom. Yahweh, when he created, he made the tree. Now you listen. Now we haven't got to no man yet. I said he made the tree. See? And there were full grown trees to begin with. Listen. And they have seeds, yielding seeds.
You see?
Yeah. Now, just like a man, you understand? He's a full grown man.
Right.
Yahweh created. Mm-hmm. See? And he has seed within himself to yield seed, you understand? Or to continue the population of the earth, just like the trees are populating. You understand? And one don't have to go down for the other one to come up. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about reincarnation, the ignorance and the superstition of it. See? And there's nothing in the world that he isn't in. Listen, here's a quotation by the Apostle Paul up in Mars here in Athens, Greece. See? And that's correct too. You ought not to think that the Godhead is like wood and hay and stuff. You ought not to think that.
See?
Listen, neither is he worshipped by men's hands.
See?
That's not all. Here goes the church. See? Neither does he dwell in temples made by hands.
Right.
Paul, where did you get that? Solomon, when he dedicated the temple that set out on Mount Moriah, he spread forth his hands and he loved God. And he said, Yahweh. Elohim. See? The heaven of heaven cannot contain me.
That's right.
There's certainly nothing of this house that I have built. The Apostle Paul takes it up again. Listen. Don't you know that your body? That's the temple.
That's right.
Of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why Joshua the Messiah said, John 2:19, destroy this temple, and I'll build it again in 3 days. The Jews said, our fathers was 46 years in building this temple, and how can you say that you can build it again in 3 days? John expounds or explains and said, this spake here of the temple of his body. You say? You understand? Now, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit,
right.
Not the building.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to know something else. Were you made by hand?
No.
Say?
Now, listen close. When you go into eschatology, what do you mean? Define what you're talking about. Eschatology deals with the origin and derivative of words. A meaning, you understand? As they were originally coined.
You see?
Lexicography,
see,
deals with the definition of words as they're used in the common category of language.
See?
Now, said, the dictionary and the common category of language, they'll tell you, now this is a lexical logic, they'll tell you the biz, as you said. See? And then you go on down in the Unabridged Dictionary, which gives all the lexical, logical, and also the etymological meaning of words. Yeah. Go on down and get the etymological meaning of it, and it'll tell you this. You see the point?
Yeah.
Now, we've said enough for that. Now, what we want to get on now is doctrine. Doctrine of the character. Now, between that and the Lord and the Lord. Now, that brings me to tell you about the Roman Catholic. It brings me to tell you about the original Jew. It brings me to tell you about the Protestants. Now, you remember, you already done read the paper. Don't forget that. And I do want you to know that there's three different types of Jews. There is the Orthodox Jew, that's the old original Jew. That's still yet looking for Messiah to come. See? There's a conservative Jew, he's hanging on the fence. He's just flattered, he don't know what to do, see? And then there is an Orthodox Jew that accepts Yahshua as the Messiah. Now, I think that brings me, that should bring me to tell you this about this holy name Bible. See? Training that wrote this Bible, translated from the King James Version of the Bible. He is an Italian Jew of the tribe of Nephilim. He is a Jew. See? You understand?
Yeah.
And he went back to the original name. You see, as they were originally in the Mosaic script, and as they were in the prophet Isaiah. By the Dead Sea Scrolls. Roman Catholics have now admitted, Seventh-day Adventists have admitted, Jehovah's Witnesses have admitted. And if you don't think they have, I'll bring you some letters.
All right.
See, that Yahweh is correct.
Incorrect. Bring it down and read it to you. You could do that yourself if you would. See? Now, I want to tell you something else. Now, this is a school, not a church. Now let me define the word church. If you would talk about church, the definition and the etymological meaning of the word church, none of the apostles used it.
Wasn't used at all, anybody. That was man of faith, God.
What is right? The word church means divine, listen, congregation and assembly.
See?
That's the original meaning, congregation or assembly. Now the Roman Catholics, I'm going on down. Now the Roman Catholics, they claim that they were the first church. I say, he's a liar. Somebody said, well now listen, he that calls his brother a liar is in danger of hell fire. said, now who said that? Said, well, Jesus said that. But you see, he did say that. But you see, he's not my brother. That's one of them demon-ass spirits I'm getting there.